Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning. I think by now you've probably got the points that I was trying to make all week about the body of Christ being one of unity and diversity, being in the image of God. I thought this morning, though, in light of what we heard about Keturah and what the theme of the worship so far has been, I would change and share with you some thoughts around the subject, A Time to Remember. A Time to Remember. We all get burdened by tragic situations we experience, and the death of a college student is no different. And what can be said when we remember a time of loss? What can be said to ease the pain or to alleviate the grief? Well, you know, the death of Keturah reminds us of what death really is. It's a rude intruder. It is a rogue and a hoodlum. It is a consummate terrorist. Death comes in a variety of ways, by accident, by our own carelessness, by the carelessness of others, by our own deliberate acts, and by the deliberate acts of others. However, when it comes, the end result is always the same. But for those of us in Christ, death does not have the final word. Yes, this is a time to remember that when death comes, we are never ready for it. It never bothers to ask our permission to come. It never sets up an appointment for us. No matter how it comes, it leaves the rest of us with a bitter sense of loss and grief. And the best we can do is to pick up the pieces and carry on. But this is not the end of the story for all who are in Christ. This is a time to remember the case of Habakkuk, a prophet in the Old Testament. Habakkuk was one of us. His heart was broken by the tragedies he saw in his day. And yet he looked to the Lord for help in times like these. He came to the Lord with serious questions on his grief-stricken heart. And it was clear to Habakkuk that only God's special intervention could correct the situation he faced. But God's intervention had not come yet. For Habakkuk and all who prayed with him, their faith was stretched to the limit, and they were at their wits' end. Habakkuk, in chapter 1, verse 2, he makes a complaint to the Lord. He said, "Oh Lord, how long must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry to you violence, but you do not save?" When we are faced with pain and loss and grief, it is typical to ask the question, how long? It is understandable to think that the Lord is not listening. It is not that we think that God can't hear us. I don't think that's the issue. It's just that we think that God is not actively responding to us when we want him. There's an old song that I used to sing in church. It went something like this: "He may not come when you want him, but he's right on time." And when we don't see God's immediate response, then we call our own faith into question, and we even call God's faithfulness into question. Now, if you read the book of Habakkuk, his dialogue with God is full of the tension of unanswered prayer. And yet, God assured Habakkuk that his prayers were answered already, even though the manifestations of the answer was not yet. No matter what our situation may be, this is a time to remember that God's promises are already, even though they're not yet. When we face a sense of loss in tragic situations, it is typical to ask the question, why? And I'm sure you've asked that question. I remember I used to work with a man named Tom Skinner. And in my opinion, he was coming into his best years. He was coming into his own. And then we lost him. And I said, God, why? I said, there's plenty of other preachers you could take. And I started naming some. But you know, God knows all this because he sees it from the perspective of eternity. Think about the times in your life when something seemed so tragic, but then you look back on it, you say, you know, it was good that that happened. It is understandable to think that the Lord is not concerned about our sadness or our pain. It may seem that things can't get any worse, and yet these are the times that call for the greatest trust in the Lord. Trusting in God means faith. On the one hand, faith involves obedient reliance upon God, and on the other, it involves a confident expectation of God's compassion and restoration. When we are troubled by the tragedies that surround us, and discouraged by the attacks of the evil one, that's understandable. You're supposed to be troubled about those things. But don't just ignore these emotions as if, you know, the I'm okay, you're okay thing, you know, saying, you know, playing poker with your emotions. You know, you don't let your hand be shown. But commit them to God as Habakkuk did. No matter how things look now, the Lord is still on the throne, and the Lord is still faithful. With faith in God's faithfulness, we may be perplexed with the way things look to us. But remember, that's just the way they look to us. It is a time to remember that these things don't look that way to God. And therefore, sadness and grief do not have to include worry. Think of what Paul said in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Here's my own translation of the first sentence. Don't worry about nothing. No, be anxious. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and what? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That was the secret of Habakkuk. This is the time to remember the case of Jesus. In John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44, Jesus was a man acquainted. He was a man of sorrows. Acquainted with grief, the Bible tells us. And he is also the Lord of love and compassion. He is well aware of our loss and sadness. When faced with the loss and grief of Martha and Mary at the tomb of Lazarus, the Bible says, he was deeply moved and troubled in spirit. Now here's the irony. Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus knew that he was the resurrection of the life. Jesus knew that whoever believes in him will live even though he dies. Jesus knew that whoever lives and believes in him will never die. He knew this. And yet, in spite of all that ontological knowledge about himself, and yet in spite of all of that, he weeps at the tomb of Lazarus. He weeps because he took their grief seriously. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He wept in empathy for their pain and sorrow, and he wept in anger at death for robbing them of the brother they loved. And you know what? And Jesus wept for us today as we face our own grief. Don't ever feel that if you're in grief that you are faces alone. You don't. Jesus weeps with you. Yes, we grieve. Yeah, we grieve. But this is the time to remember that when we grieve, it is not like other men, the rest of men who have no hope. And remember, this hope will never disappoint us. Why? Because in Christ, death is swallowed up in victory. Yeah, we weep. But this is the time to remember that we grieve for ourselves and not for Keturah. But not for Keturah. You know why? You know, we may miss her. But rest assured that she does not miss us. Why? Because in Christ, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, in conclusion, just let me say this. This is a time to remember God's faithfulness. And with faith in God's faithfulness, even when our hearts are heavy, God promises that in the end, we will have a yet testimony. What's a yet testimony, right? I'm sure that's a question going in your mind. Well, I'm not going to try to define it for you, but I'm going to give you some examples. Listen to David's yet testimony. Psalm 37, verse 25. I was young, and now I'm old. Yet, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Listen to Paul's yet testimony. 2 Timothy, or should I say 2 Timothy? I'm ready to run for president, y'all. I couldn't let that one go by. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 11 through 12. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I suffer as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard that which I have entrusted to him against that day. Listen to Habakkuk's yet testimony in a worst case scenario. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 18. Remember I said Habakkuk finally came to that peace? Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes in the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. This is a time to remember that though we miss her, Keturah herself has the ultimate yet testimony. She is in the presence of Jesus, the killer of death. And yet, she is caught up in the ecstasy of everlasting praise. So we grieve for ourselves, and we remember her, and we miss her. But just know, she doesn't miss us. Isn't that a great thing? You know, we take that kind of thing for granted. I've studied all the religions of the world. No religion offers anything like this. Not even Christianity, but Christ offers it to us. So may we all have a yet testimony. And when we get to the kingdom, maybe we'll share and exchange notes with Keturah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, so much for your word, for your comfort, for your grace. And we ask that you will always remind us of how much we have to be thankful for and to praise you about. In Jesus' name.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.